The peace of God, the joy of God, serenity, harmony, rhythm of God. I am the wonderful love of God. I am, I am, I am. I am the wisdom and power of God. I am, I am, I am. I am the wisdom and power of God. I am, I am, I am. The light of God, success of God, prosperity, happiness, might of God. I am the wisdom and power of God. I am, I am, I am.
Not all of these tags are for us today. So I was having some difficulty deciding, and I decided I'd go with like a two-parter today. So the first couple pieces being from this very interesting little offbeat Prayers for the Modern Mystic that I picked up several years ago. So we have the Memo to God. I come to you with both love and confusion in my heart. Some days I feel certain I feel your love and peace. I am grateful for life. Other days, I am lost. I question things, I worry, I procrastinate. Do you test me or do I test myself? Is there a deeper meaning to life? Are we truly on the edge of evolutionary leap in consciousness, or am I needing to believe something that is not there because I am delusional? Is confusion a delusion? One day I am perfectly happy and mentally peaceful, and the next day I am so self and other critical that I want to have a head replacement. Am I headed in the right direction? Is something happening here? One day I think nothing is happening, and the next day I think too much is going on. I think you can see the problem. Feel free from this, free me from this back and forth mental mania. My heart can no longer stand the bondage of my mind. I hunger for your continuing joy and constant peace. I have become your fruit and cannot bear to be taken from your vine. I have tasted the divine and can no longer quench my thirst with earthly wine. Liberate me from my fluctuating states of consciousness so that I might permanently dwell in your love and tenderness. Please heed my need and get back to me ASAP. Memo from God. I received your memo earlier this morning and I'm sorry to see that you are suffering from low self-esteem and perception deception. I am sending down a few angels to console you. Until then, I ask you to remain calm. This temporary phase that you are going through will shortly be relieved. It is not unusual for humans to go through this sort of impermanent situation. You are a light being operating through a human body. Your light has increased so much lately that your body is having to go through quite an adjustment. Just as you have often become too big for your britches, you now are experiencing the effects of being too big for your body. Keep the faith and know that I love you. All this will make sense soon, and you will see the beauty of my plan in your life. Please welcome the angels and take time to feel their presence. I am preparing a place for you, and it is a place of great peace. I will never forsake you. You can depend on this. You do not walk alone. God. Just in case we need some help figuring out who those angels might be. I got this other little book here, and it says, watch for angels. Every day in the world around us, real life angels are doing the things they do and bringing more smiles to the world around them. They don't hold things against you. The only thing they hold is you. They take your hand in theirs when you could use a little reassurance. They walk beside you when you could do with a little guidance and direction in your life. And they support you in your attempts to do what is right. Real life angels multiply your smiles and add to your integrity. They make you feel like, hey, I really am somebody who matters. Then they quietly prove to you how beautiful and true that feeling really is. If you come across an angel like this, you are one of the luckiest people of all. By Amelia Larson. Nice.
And they also give really good readings and help out with the music.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Meditation song. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Should be page 246, breathe through me.
What page?
246.
246.
Correct.
46.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's real simple. But well, we're hoping this is correct.
Kingdom and the power Amen.
So it is.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Well, before I knew what the daily word was for today, the Spirit brought me the song, which I knew was connected to the message. And it's Jacob's Ladder, or God's Promise in My Practice. So we're here on this day, right, the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday. So we're beginning the Lent season, and in the beginning of the Lent season, we have these 46 days before Easter, which really represent, not counting the Sundays, the 40 days in the wilderness that Jesus spent, which for us is a way of demonstrating during this time period our ability to commune fully with Spirit and unfold that Christ consciousness fully in ourselves during this time. Not that we can't do it the rest of the year, but during this time, we can even mark the movement, the development of climbing, ascending, and bringing that consciousness from the highest back down into that earth presence, that movement up and down the ladder of consciousness, of the infinite source and substance. That's Jacob's Ladder. How many people learned that this song about we are climbing Jacob's Ladder as a kid?
Well,
yeah.
Not as a kid.
Okay. Well, some of us learned it as, whoever went to Vacation Bible School, anybody do that? I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. Vacation Bible School. So in the summer, that you spend some time in Vacation Bible School when other kids might be, you know, you had your time where you went to camp, you know, Girl Scout camp, Boy Scout camp, whatever things, but Vacation Bible School could be all summer, or it could be 3 weeks, where you go all day, you know, every day in the school, and you learn songs, and you learn stories from the Bible. Well, we're not going to play that song now. I'm going to sing a couple things, and then we'll play later. Yeah. But this is one of those songs that I learned there. I learned it in church, but also we sang it all the time in Vacation Bible School. And it's, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. Now, some of you I know hear about soldiers of the cross. You hear soldiers and you go, eh. And you hear being on the cross and you go, eh. Okay, so it's a double eh. All right. But understand that being a spiritual warrior is that battle that goes on within, that unfolding of who we are. That kind of friction that gets set up between sometimes me being at a lower level of consciousness and then me being at a higher level of consciousness. Anybody know about that friction?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's being a spiritual warrior. That's that unfolding. That's the battleground that's happening in here with the polarity. We live on the earth, okay? North Pole, South Pole, opposites, okay? So we make that transcendence. We make that movement with that friction. That inner friction, and sometimes it looks like it's outer, it looks like it's between you and you, but, you know, it's in here, all right? So, in that unfolding, we are making that movement up and up that ladder. Now, let me say something about that soldier piece, because that's what really that song is speaking about. It's speaking about our ability to make it. I'll tell you a little story. There's this young man, and he's doing terrible in mathematics. And his mother keeps trying to give him support, to get him to do his homework, to do better. She's getting tutors, she's helping him out herself. And each time he goes through class, and he's not doing well, not because he doesn't have the abilities, not doing well because he's just kind of slacking off. He's not paying attention, or he's not doing his homework, or he knows what he's supposed to do and he doesn't do it, and he doesn't follow through. So she starts to, you know, give him a little incentive, she thinks, and she tells him, listen, Bob, you know, you've messed up in this course twice, and if you do this a third time, I'm going to send you to a different school altogether. So, third time around, he does the same thing. So she decides, okay, I'm going to enforce this. I'm going to send him to a different school. She sends him to a different school. He gets to the school, and in this school, they have some parochial practices, and goes in, and he goes into orientation, and he goes into the chapel. He's got a chaplain who's giving a talk and giving a prayer. And 6 weeks later, they have chapel all the time in this school. 6 weeks later, he comes home with an A in his math class from his last test. His mother goes, "What happened? What's the miracle?" She didn't know what was the magic portion. He says, "Well, I went to that orientation at the new school, and I sat there, and there was this guy up talking, and he's a chaplain, and I looked past him, and I saw they had this guy nailed to the wall on a plus sign." And I thought, I better make a change. They take math seriously. And some of us are like that. We know what the laws are. We know what the guidance is. We've heard the whispers of the truth. We've seen the glimmers, and we've seen the demonstration of what's possible. We know what the covenant is. We know what God's promise is to us if we walk it out. But we're not necessarily willing to make that commitment of the other side for our practice. What is our practice? Our practice has to do with what our consciousness is, what our thoughts are, what our assumptions are. What is our purpose? Standing on the ground of that, our purpose, and knowing our potential and recognizing it. It's in the food we take or don't take as nourishment, what we take in from the environment, what we put out in the environment through our deeds and our actions. Service, prayer, meditation. We say these are part of our practice, right?
Right.
In unity. So putting all this together, how is my practice? Am I moving up and down that ladder of consciousness? Am I going up every day and bringing it back down into my earthly existence? That's my practice. You know, not the meditation I may do once a month, right? But am I doing that meditation as part of walking through this world? Maybe I do 20 minutes in the morning, but am I walking that meditation out all day? So we have some guidance. If you look at the Daily Word, it talks today about our wholeness. It also is quoting from Isaiah about how to get there. But there are two passages I need to speak of. That one from Isaiah, but I need to speak before that about what Jacob's actual dream was to remind us. Okay, so I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it from the actual Hebrew Bible. Here it goes. Well, it's coming, I promise you. So the actual dream takes place in Genesis, is quoted in Genesis, but Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway, actually in the Hebrew Bible it says ladder, resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So I'm asking you today to just dig there deep for a moment. And what is it that God has promised you? What is the covenant? What have you been promised, and what are the spiritual laws by which your soul aspires to live and practice? What is that covenant? What is that agreement? Each of you, I mean, it's not just one thing. So it's for you, what has been promised? Some of you have had visions. Some of you have had dreams of communication directly with the Holy Spirit. And?
Yeah.
Okay. You've been guided. You've been brought somewhere in a precious way in your life, to whatever relationship, to whatever place, to whatever opportunity, to whatever place of healing, to whatever wholeness, to whatever resolution, to whatever peace, to whatever gift you've been given. Whatever enables you to touch that power directly that is the spark that's within you. With that comes a promise and a practice. And if you don't know what that is right now, if you don't know what that practice is, if you don't know how it is that you're to be unfolding that, then I suggest you take this time in these weeks moving up to Easter to really reinforce that, to place yourself in the position where the rest of that passage where in the daily word we're quoting, and the light will come through you and you will be restored. The wholeness message that we heard this morning in the reading of the daily word, that message is a larger passage, which is basically reminding the people about fasting as a part of pleasing God. Now, I'm not telling you what kind of fast you need to go on. There's all kinds of fasts. There are fasts that have to do with fasting from certain habits that are out of alignment with the principles that you want to adhere to in life. There's fasting from things that you know are of detriment to your body, which is a temple. There's fasting from relationships that have proved to be dysfunctional for you, where you put yourself at a lower consciousness than is the consciousness that you're aspiring to and that you have the potential of. There's all kinds of ways to fast and do it in accordance with these laws. Now, some of us recognize that when you're doing this and you're choosing to do it, it is not an oppressive experience. It's a liberating experience. Because just like the seven chakras, you know what the chakras are, right? Okay. What you're doing is you are moving through those levels of consciousness when you're climbing Jacob's ladder. You're moving through recognition of purpose and potential, all the way up to recognizing your power, all the way up to recognizing your unity with everyone else, all the way up to recognizing that you're a bridge between what appears to be separations, all the way up to super consciousness, all the way up to ultra consciousness, all the way up to infinite consciousness, so that you are a full embodiment of that supreme consciousness. That's that movement up Jacob's ladder. And having moved up, then we bring that energy right back down into how we treat one another, into how we help those in need, into how we heal ourselves and how we support the healing of others. And fasting is only a way to go through levels 1, 2, and 3. Our preoccupation with what am I going to eat, who am I going to bed with, and who's in charge. One, two, and three. And as we can move up that ladder and experience whatever our inner battles are, we're like those 40 days in the wilderness, where we get that liberation, where we get our wings, where we don't care anymore about some of those other practices, because we are expanding into more fully who we are as a spiritual being. And then we are able to bring that back down and enjoy and share that light in the world. So this song, We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder, we're going to get to sing it. And consider when we're singing it about our own liberation, our own freedom, our own wholeness, our own restoration. You ready? You have a copy of it.
Oh,
that passage that came out of the Daily Word. You just heard one part. The rest of it says, call with a full throat, do not spare. Like a shofar, rise your voice and relate to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their errors. Yet they seek me daily, and they wish to know my ways, like a nation that performed righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of its God. They ask me ordinances of righteousness. They desire nearness to God. Why have we fasted, and you did not see? Behold, on your day of fast, you pursue business, and all your debtors, you exact payment. Behold, for quarrel and strife you fast, and to strike with a fist of wickedness. Do not fast like this day to make your voice heard on high. Will such be the fast I will choose, a day of man's afflicting his soul? Is it to bend his head like a fishhook and lay out and spread the sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and be acceptable day to the Lord? What they're basically saying here is, it's not about the form of the fast. It's not about being holier than thou. It's not going around saying, I'm blessed, and expect everybody else to respond, I'm blessed. Have you seen that kind of behavior? It's like, why don't you say you're blessed? I said I was blessed and highly favored. Why don't you say you're blessed? It's not about that. I spoke in a positive term, and you spoke in a negative term. And so if you're in unity, then you might see yourself as holier than thou because you spoke in positive sense, and somebody else has some negative framework in there, some negative language in what they said. It's not about being holier than thou. It's not about that kind of following the law and acting as if we are fasting in the right thoughts and deeds and food. Rather, it is to share your bread with the hungry and the moaning poor. You should bring home. When you see a naked one, you shall clothe him, and from your flesh you shall not hide. Then, this is what we heard in the Daily Word, then your light shall break forth as the dawn, and your healing shall quickly sprout, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall gather you in.
Yeah.
So it's that promise of God and the practice of being the Lord God of our being unfolding every day. The promise and the practice together. And then you shall call the Lord and answer. You shall cry and he shall say, here I am. If you remove your thinking that may be in error and draw out your soul to the hungry and afflicted soul, you say, then your light shall shine in the darkness and your darkness shall be like noon. And the Lord shall always lead you and shall satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose water does not fail. And those coming from you shall build ancient ruins, foundations of generations you shall erect, and you shall be called the repairer of breaches, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And then you shall delight in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride in the high places of the land and will give you to eat the heritage of Jacob, your father. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And we, unity, are the restorer of breaches. And the bringer together of paths. Let's remember who we are collectively, individually. Remember God's promise and engage in our practice. And so it is.
So it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Okay. Just take some very deep breaths, three very deep ones, all the way from the center of the earth up to the crown of your head. Exhale with your lips parted. And as we move energetically up this ladder with each breath. We'll take 7 breaths. We fully awaken and activate all the powers that help us practice fully who we are. Breath 1. Inhale, exhale. Bring up breath 2, bringing it up the ladder. Inhale, exhale. Seeing ourselves more clearly. Bringing the breath up, 3rd level. Engaging the powers that we've been given through our birth. And that we have gathered along the way. Up to heart level. Inhale, exhale. Unifying whatever appears to be separate, the illusion of separation disappears. We're one with all that there is. Inhale, all the way up to the throat. Exhale. Harmonizing with the universe and the truth. All the way up to our brow. Inhale, exhale. Bringing forth all the powers of manifestation that go with God, that go with us. And all the way up to the top, to the crown, to that infinite consciousness, we ascend. And all of that consciousness we bring back to Earth in all that we do. One big breath, collectively. Exhale. And so it is. Thank you.
Giving back to everybody. There's 2 containers. Silver one's for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering is located inside your program. So take your offering in your hand. Together we'll say the offering prayer. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive.
Well, thank you.
God. The blessing of thanks together found in your program. We bless these gifts.
We send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is.
Now, if you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
Johnny Troy.
Patty Kyle.
Sonia. Little Bill.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen.
So it is.
Say the prayer of protection. You'll find it on the back of your program or up here on the wall. The light of
God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
If you make a circle in the center there, and thank you for the beautiful sunshine day. We are so grateful to you.
Each moment and live each moment in peace eternal.